At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode of Friday the 13th, 1 through 4, from our curriculum. I think that's what we did, yeah.
That was what we did.
And, yeah, we hope you enjoyed listening to that. And this week, we have old Screamboat, man, Steamboat Willie Gone Psycho. Yeah, so Screamboat came out in April, but it just released on streaming. And so we decided, dude, let's check it out. It has David Howard Thornton, who plays Terrifier in the Terrifier series. He plays Steamboat Willie in this one, who, if you don't know, is Mickey Mouse or Mortimer Mouse. And, of course, the Disney franchise. But because, you know, his copyright, whatever, is up. He's now kind of free range.
Now it's all public domain. So
yeah. You know. Well, I guess Mickey Mouse isn't, but Steamboat Willie is.
Because it was technically deemed as Mortimer. So yeah, that was.
Yeah. You know. So, but yeah, this movie was. It's cool, man. I like it. I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot of people that hated it. Unfortunately, I saw a lot of bad reviews on it. I don't know. It's just a good B-horror movie that takes shots at Disney. And what's so cool about the movie is you think, seeing like the trailers and stuff and the promotional videos and all that, you think like, oh, it's just going to be like David Howard Thornton in a giant mouse suit. I mean, he is in a mouse suit, but you think he's going to be like life-size, like, you know, a pretty big mouse, like, you know, normal size.
Yeah, like the way that the other films, and we'll go into those later, but obviously the other films that were released, you know, it's a normal sized human man in a mouse suit. And this one, yeah, he was in the suit, but like they reduced the size to where
he
literally is the size of, you know, Mortimer.
I mean, technically he's the size of Mickey Mouse when in the Walt Disney picture with Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, to your hip, or to Walt Disney's hips. But it's actually that size. It's so cool, man. And I know people don't like it. I get it. People are like talking about like, oh, you know, they need to stop making like childhood characters like into horror movies and stuff like that. The childhood movies into horror movies and stuff like that. But it's an original to an extent, I guess you could say. The stories are original. I mean, they're just using characters that have had stories already. And
well, see, to me, it's just a normal progression in the way that things go. Literally, Walt Disney took all these original stories.
True.
And he distorted them into his own Disney fantasy. And now you have these generations of people with, you know, I'm not going to slam on Disney adults or anything like that. You know, think what you want. I've got a great imagination. But, you know, you have these people who are, like, totally obsessed with these storylines, and they treat them like they're like almost like biblical canon. And it's like, no, that's
they're not. Yeah.
They, you know, Walt put his own spin on it. So now people have taken Walt's stories and spun them in their own direction. And that's one of the things that I think is great about the public domain films, is that they're all, you know, all these stories are now becoming readily available.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the whole, you know, gotta give much respect to the Pooniverse and the fact that they're coming out more and more. You know, later this year we have Bambi the Reckoning coming out. Yeah. So, but I do like the fact of what they did. They obviously have a lot of, you know, having worked for Disney myself, they have a lot of intel, and I like what they did with it.
Yeah.
I like the Easter eggs that they hid in there. I like the fact that, you know, the main cast of characters are these, like, snooty Instagram model Disney princesses.
Yeah.
And just the way it all came about and the way it all played, like, it was just an enjoyable movie. But it's a no-brainer movie.
Yes.
It's not something that's like, you know, I'm sorry, if Greenbelt keeps you up at night, you've got some issues. Like, you know, obviously Art the Clown, you know, it being played by the same actor that plays Art the Clown, you know, Art the Clown might keep you up at night. Screamboat, you know, it's kind of like the whole Chucky thing. I never understood the fear of the Chucky doll.
Yeah.
I don't understand a little stinky, dirty rodent living down in, you know, in the bowels of a old, you know, basically like New Jersey, you know, Staten Island ferry ship. You know, but I liked it. I thought it was extremely well done. I liked the fact that, you know, they really didn't, except for, you know, David Allan Thornton, they really didn't come very strong with, like, a huge cast of characters.
Well, there was one guy in there.
Yeah,
man.
There was, you know.
There's a scene where Steamboat Willie, he is now, he's pretty much going on a spree now. It's pretty much halfway through the movie. Which, I mean, dude, if you just, like, be, like, horror movie, just go check it out. Like, it's on Amazon Prime, Fandango at Home, stuff like that. You can get it now. You can stream it. But he's, like, he's going through. He's you know, capping people now. He's collecting bodies. And where everybody's gathered, you know, people are, like, kind of, you know, talking, you know, about, like, terrorists. Like, it's a terrorist that's getting them. And then they finally see Steamboat Willie and, you know, this little mouse dude. And Q is like, it's a small world after all. And I'm like, Q from Impractical Jokers is in? And I get it because, you know, they're
Brian Quinn from, you know, what would have made this movie complete. So, essentially, you know, we're kind of getting into the movie, but the premise of the movie is...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
There's a cast of characters, and the main one, was it Selena?
Yeah. Selena.
So, Selena's running from the tribe of Disney princesses.
They're drunk. They're having a drunk night.
They're drunk. They're having, like, you know, the bachelorette party thing. And they run onto the Staten Island Ferry. And so before all this goes down, there's a couple of work people, and they're down in the bowels of the ferry getting it prepared for tonight's run. And lo and behold, they find, well, one of them is like, it's like his last night. He's retiring. So he's looking for anything on the ship that he can steal.
Yeah.
So he's stealing, like, he finds this, you know, Steamboat Willie nameplate on the base of, like, this kind of, like, little storage vault. So he's prying it off, and his co-worker is kind of like...
Well, it was the Mortimer, I think is what it was, because the ship is called the Mortimer.
Yeah. So he peels it off, and obviously, like, it kind of cracks the seal, and it wakes the dormant, you know, which I also thought was a great play, because we all know about Walt Disney and the fact that basically he cut his head off and had it cryogenically frozen so that they could cure him of whatever. So, yeah, just like Walt's old frozen ghostly head, Steamboat's taking a little nap down there in the bottom. You know, he's cryogenically frozen, let's say. So they break it off, and, of course, they break the seal, bringing Screamboat to life.
Yes. And, yeah.
You know, basically pissing him off now.
Yeah.
And his sole desire in life is, like, it's hilarious because it's like a twisted, like, distorted Titanic.
Yeah, it's like a screwed up little Titanic, man. It's like
he's looking for his mini, you know, they're star-crossed lovers, and he just, you know, he's misunderstood. He just wants his mini back.
Yeah, that's all
but
it is.
But in that, you know, basically everybody's in his way from him, attempting to get her back.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got you have Selena, who's the main character, the heroine, I guess you could say, of the movie. And yeah, she's running from
some heroine in this movie.
Right? Oh, yeah, there is. There's a guy who is dressed up like the Statue of Liberty, gets on there, finds a place
the
where he...
The first victim, except for, like, the workers, which, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, he's the first one to go. He gets his Achilles cut, both of them cut, and what's cool is because he has like a giant head of the Statue of Liberty, And then he's like sees it on the ground, and it comes up and has like little legs from from Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, his big floppy shoes. But you know, I mean, in his defense, I mean, he was doing like multiple bumps of coke.
So oh, yeah, he was. Yeah.
I mean, he could have been hallucinating. He could have thought that he was hallucinating before that giant rodent like took him out.
True. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have you get the trashy Disney princesses that are. Like
posting to their vlogs or whatever the hell they're doing.
You have what do you have? You have Belle, if I remember correctly. You have Cindy, who is obviously it's her birthday, and so she is, you know, the queen of the night, I guess you could say. She is the princess of the night since it's her birthday. She's of course Cinderella.
Cinderella. Yep.
And then
you have Ariel. You have Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, you have Belle. You have Jasmine.
Yeah.
Who a girl who's supposed to, I'm assuming, is supposed to be, you know, Jasmine. You have, you have Sleeping Beauty, actually, if I remember correctly. The girl in the pink.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's supposed to be.
I think she was Sleeping Beauty.
I think she's supposed to be Sleeping Beauty. But you have her, and then you have, so I think that was all of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cindy, Belle, Jasmine, Sleeping Beauty, and Ariel.
Yep.
Yeah, that was all of them. And they're all hammer drunk. They're just looking for their next drink, and they're all...
They're mad. They're mad because the bar on the Staten Island Ferry isn't open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, see, the main thing with the movie is that, essentially, the captain, he just wants this flipping day to be over with.
Yeah.
He's just had it. Yeah. He just wants it to be done, and so there's a huge fog bank that rolls in, and he kind of bypasses everything that everyone says. Like, he's like, no, I want to just make it across. I just want to get home, do my thing. I'm tired of it. So everyone's like calling him on it, like they're not like, no, you don't travel in these conditions. And they're like, well, technically you can't leave right now, but if you leave before X happens, then I guess you can do whatever you need to.
Yeah.
And so the captain's like, balls to the wall. He's like, no, I'm a full throttle. And he takes off into the night with this, you know, random cast of characters.
Yeah, and then he gets killed.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, he gets killed by Steamboat
Willie. Which is great, because, you know, Scream Goat cuts his little head off and then stands on top of his head and then sits there and guides, like the Staten Island Ferry, even though it is, like, one of the retired, you know, line. It's not an old wooden ship wheel, you know, like Dwight Schrute in The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not there, so, but yeah.
But he's doing the little whistle that, you know, in the first, you know, cartoon that he appeared in, doing the little whistle and, like, tapping on the body.
His little foot tappa.
Yeah, but he gets him off course because he's trying to look for Minnie. He's trying to look for his Minnie, his girl, which they do find out later on in the movie. That's what he's doing. He's not just a murderous little mouse that, you know... It's just killing everybody, which I love the way he kills two of the Disney princess-looking girls. I think it's Belle and the Jasmine-looking girl.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, like, they're quoting all of the movies.
Oh, they're dropping so many Easter eggs in this movie. It's hilarious. Like, what the hell is that Frozen song? Let It Be or whatever?
Let It Go.
Let It Go.
Let It Go.
Yeah, they're dropping Let It Go. All just... So much, you know.
Yeah, dude, they take a lot of shots at Disney, too. Like, there's an old man that they find. He's like an old drunk, I guess you could say. And he was talking about how he used to be an old crew member from when the ferry used to be a steamboat, when it was a steamboat. And that, you know, they were like, well, you know, how is this? Is this, how is this the original, you know, steamboat if it's a working ferry now? He goes, you know, the old captain who was supposed to be Walt, just Walt, it's Walter, that's it. He used to just reuse and, you know, to save on the budget.
Save on the budget.
He used to reuse parts and just made of used parts and stuff like that. Taking a shot at how Disney now is pretty much.
Yeah, picking the bones of the carcass, essentially.
Yeah, you know.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Old cartoons and now making them live actions or just rebooting old series and stuff like that.
Lilo and Stitch in theaters now.
Heard it wasn't bad. But honestly, I just rather watch the cartoon. That's just a personal thing. If you watch the live action, you loved it, hey, good for you. But that was my one thing. Like, not to go on a huge rant, but, like, the people, like, crapping on, like, you know, I guess, you know, Blood and Honey kind of coined the term Twisted Childhood, you know, which is, like, the old childhood cartoons that are now being turned into
horror movies. Yeah.
And people don't like those. But then again, it's like, well, Disney is kind of, like, doing the same thing. They're, like, butchering their old cartoons, too. Like, they're redoing them, and they're not as good.
Look at the most horrible movie of 2024. What was the most horrible movie? Snow White.
Yeah.
That you know, I didn't see it. I'm not going to comment on it. I didn't watch it. But it looked pretty garbagey to me. So, yeah, it didn't get, you know, what is it, like a negative on Rotten Tomatoes?
Damn, I think.
It's the worst movie of, like, 2024. It's the worst movie in, like, a decade. And it's because, you know, you made it, like, all flippin' weird. And, yeah, like I said, you know, having worked for Disney, yeah, dude, Disney's definitely, I mean, I worked for them in the early 2000s. And I can say I went back in the mid-2000s. That's the last time I've been back. And this is Disney, California.
Yeah.
And, man, people were just, they used to be happy. They used to be friendly. They used to be overcompensating. My main task when I was hired, I was told, is to make magic happen every day.
Yeah.
If a kid had a lousy day, I could do everything in Disney's power, like give them cookies, like money was no issue. And you could bless that kid out and make that kid have a magical day.
Yeah, that's what's supposed
to happen. That is not what happens now. Now it's like $58,000 to stay in a hotel. You know, these people, like half the people that are doing Disney adults and everything, they're financing their trip to Disney. Like a night when I worked in the hotel, a night in a suite in the Disneyland Hotel was roughly anywhere between $200 and $325. Now, shoot, man, that's like $1,000 easily. That's $1,000 for a garbage room.
Jeez, dude.
I mean, it's
not, you know, saying Disney adults are ruining it. I get it, dude. No. It's, you know, it's a nostalgia trip, you know. I get it. I've never been to Disney. I don't plan to at all. There's no reason. I would rather go to Universal. But I just
there's no logic to it. It's just nonsensical. And the way, like, you know, the way, like, this movie, like I said, it keeps, you know, revamping itself and moving through. And the great part that I liked about it is, if you know anything about Disney history, in the hotels, in the parks, for all the Disney adults, there are Mickey Mouse's hidden all throughout. There's little, they call them hidden Mickeys. There's everywhere. They're in carpet designs. The Imagineering department has cast them into rides. They're in the wallpaper. It's like this whole, like, room 237 Shining stuff going on. It's just all this creepy crap everywhere with Mickey in there. And people literally go around and it's like a Mickey hunt and you find the hidden Mickeys. And the way that they made this movie, they took the little Disney snippets and the little cut downs of Disney and they hid it all throughout the movie. So idiots like me would hear, like, you know, Let It Go. And they'd be like, ah, yeah, that's from Frozen.
Or A Whole New World.
A Whole New World and all that. Yeah, whenever they were throwing something out, it was like finding those little hidden Mickeys throughout the film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, man. I enjoy it. Again, it's just cool to see. One, the makeup was pretty cool, man. That costume that he was up in. The Mickey costume, or the Steamboat Willie costume, was actually pretty good, man.
Yeah.
He had the black beady eyes.
But it wasn't overdone.
And
it didn't look quality. It looked kind of like, hey, wait a minute, you know, Tom Savini smoked a big joint and made like this half-rabid monster creature. And it was good. Like, it didn't look like super, like, oh my gosh, it's like super high quality. It looked low budget, but it looked like it was really like a little rat.
Yeah.
So... And the way they just came out with that, it was just, you know, the whole appearance, the kills
dude,
were
the
great.
The kills are wild. The forklift kill.
The forklift kill.
Where they're trying to do this.
Where they're trying to do.
Thirst trap their.
Yeah, exactly. Know. Jasmine and Ariel or whoever are trying to do like their little vlog, and they're like, "Hey, we're coming to you from the Staten Island Ferry."
Yeah.
And doing their crap, and then, dude, Screamboat can't take no more. He like starts up the forklift and like goes through both of their heads with the forklift forks. It was good. There's a cop, you know, who.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah,
somebody basically, you know, obviously, dude, it's gonna happen. It's a horror movie, but obviously they sneak off to have a little sexual rendezvous.
Yeah.
And the lady starts performing, we'll say, fellatio.
Well, before that, she also quotes, can you feel the love tonight?
Yeah, can you feel the love tonight? And so she drops to her knees and unzips his pants.
And makes him feel the love.
Yeah, makes him feel the love. And, of course, then Screamboat, he, like, pops around the corner. He's like, hey, what's going on? And then he's looking for Mickey, man. He's like, you know, I want my little cut of the action. And so she's, like, downtown on this dude. And Screamboat gets pissed. So, obviously, like, he just... And lobs off, obviously, the male's privates.
Yes, which is still in her mouth.
Yeah, which, I mean, they spared nothing on this movie.
That was funny, man.
Yeah.
It's still in her mouth, and she spits it out. And, yeah, so that happens. And, of course, he kills them. Like, that's what happens. It doesn't show the killing. It just shows the mutilation. The
mutilation, yeah.
But then the new captain of the ship, since the old captain died, he got killed. He's, like, trying to fix the control panel because, obviously, you know, Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, Willie's sabotaging things. He's cutting down the comms.
Yeah.
He's cutting everything down.
So he's trying to fix the control panel.
Yeah.
And he's, like, asking him to hand him a screwdriver and stuff like that. And he keeps handing him the wrong tools until finally he...
Yeah, I think he wanted a flathead screwdriver. And next thing that you know, Willie hands off the penis.
Yeah, he gives him the flathead.
Yeah. Gives him the round head, the mushroom head. Yep.
And so he gets that, and what's funny is like it goes like kind of in his mouth.
He's like, yeah, like.
But he does kill him. Unfortunately, he does. He kills him too. But yeah, the kills are good. The they all gather in one area, and one of the cops is like, because they're like freaking out. They're like, oh, it's terrorists. We're not gonna let terrorists take over this boat. Like. Why a random ferry would be taken over, but supposedly, but you know, so they're talking about like, you know, standing up to this thing, whatever this thing is, they're gonna stand up to it. And the cop's like, yeah, we're from Staten Island, we're gonna do this and that, and immediately just gets killed by Steamboat Willie. And like water, I think he pours water on the floor with the hose, he sprays everyone down with the hose. And electrocutes all of them. Q was not safe.
Q gets roasted. Oh. See, this is where I really thought. I mean, you gotta throw this in there, okay? It's Staten Island, okay? For God's sakes, where the hell was the Wu-Tang Clan? If you had the Wu-Tang Clan, right? Like, yeah, you might have fried. Dude, Old Dirty would have smoked Willie. Like dead ass.
That's why you can't have them. You can't have Wu-Tang in there, man.
Dude, that would have been sweet right there, dude. Like everybody just block off. Like Jizza gets one door, RZA gets the other door. Inspector Deck just smacks the shit out of Willie. See, that would have been great. Like I mean, you only had to get like one member of the clan. Like you know, you could have you know, like yeah, you probably couldn't. The budget probably couldn't afford meth. Probably couldn't afford RZA. Jizza might have done it on a joke. Inspector Deck, I mean, he's doing all that Czar face stuff.
Yeah,
he might have come through and been like, "Dude, I got this. Like, I'm gonna carry it for the island. Like, it would have been cool."
Yeah,
10304.
You got Raekwon.
Yeah, dude, Raekwon could have chefed him up, dude. Stir fry Willie, like fucking rat. You know, you could have done a skit. It would have, like, dude, that was my heart. We could have done that.
Maybe on the next one, they'll throw in some
some
Wu-Tang.
So when they're electrocuting them, you know, after that scene finishes, they're all like, you know, regrouping, and they're gonna go through, and you know, now we're one combined force. We're gonna, you know,
yeah. You have the EMT who was on. There was an EMT there that was helping people,
helping everybody.
Yeah, and then you have Selena, the main character. You have what's his name? There's a pretty much a guy like the love interest, I guess you could say. He's like he becomes captain.
Yeah, because you're going through, like, chain of command, and, like, this guy doesn't even want, like, his porter position or whatever the hell he is. He doesn't even want that position. But every time, like, something happens, they're like, oh, your next step up to be the captain, It would be like you're a cashier, and they're like, oh, well, the assistant manager and store manager got killed. Now you're the manager. Dude, that cashier doesn't want to be the manager.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to step up to the plate on that responsibility.
Yeah, Pete was his name, right? Pete, yeah. Yeah, Pete is like the – he was a deckhand, I guess you could say, and he just, you know, he worked below deck, I guess you could say. And then he becomes captain because both of the captains died. Yeah, and now he's
by appointment, you know.
He's next up.
Yeah, it's a, you know, apparently being a deckhand on a ferry is like a government position. You just automatically move yourself up. You're like you're POTUS within like two deaths. You're POTUS.
Yeah.
Don't
but
even worry
you
about
get
it.
The whole backstory of Mickey from the drunk guy who was talking about, you know, him reusing parts and stuff like that to create the ferry. You get a picture of Walt or Walter, who was the captain of the first steamboat, and some scientists had left their experiment on the boat, and it was Willie. And so to help Willie, you know, he helped him escape, and he kept him, you know, as a deckhand pretty much. Like, he was helping him out, like his little helper. And so they find out that it wasn't just, you know, there was like a tragedy, and they think it's like, oh, Walter had died. You know, I guess there was a bad storm or something. Walter died and then left Mickey here pretty much, or Willie here to rot. Sorry.
We gonna get sued on this one.
Left Willie there to rot pretty much. But later they find out, they see the pictures of them, and there's actually two of them. There's a girl and a guy, or a guy mouse and a girl mouse, and it's Willie and Minnie. And so now Selena's like, oh, I just so happen to have a polka dot bag that looks just like Minnie's skirt. Maybe I can trick him into thinking like I'm Minnie and, you know, get him to stop killing people. You know, we're already like 26 people down.
Yeah. So. There's like five of you left. Like there's a little kid whose parent.
His mom got electrocuted.
Yeah. Mom got electrocuted.
He was on the rubber bar mat.
The dad is like president of the borough or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, he holds a, in the city, he holds an elected position.
Yeah.
And so they keep referencing him. Then there's like this big, like, you know, $3 Vin Rangs guy who's like, we can't afford Vin Rangs, but we're going to get this guy.
Yeah.
And
Moses. Yeah. Moses.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the thing that I found like super difficult about this film, like not in the movie itself, but in the fact of doing the research to actually talk about this, half of the participants, half the actors in this movie are not named. They're not on the IMDb. They're nowhere to be. Okay, Barry is the drunk guy.
Yeah, Barry's the drunk guy.
But he's not on IMDb. Like, there's nothing. Like,
yeah, they probably just found some, like, you know, local actors
or
something.
Yeah, I had to, like, deep dive him.
Cindy is, she's the girl from Terrifier. She's
yeah.
the one who gets cut up and killed by Art, the clown. She was in the one that, oh my gosh, that I can't remember the main character's name, that she was seeing, you know, her visions and stuff like that, her PTSD and all that, that
yeah.
she was the one seeing on the table. But she was in it, and so she was in the Terrifier movies. But everybody else, I really didn't recognize, and that's not that, like, oh man, I just,
yeah.
who cares about these people? It's just, I'd never yeah. seen them before.
My wife's way better at that than I am. I
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We had a situation at, you know, Frightmare Weekend where I walked past a guy and I was like, oh my God, I know this guy from a movie, like a random obscure movie. And I couldn't remember his name for the life of me. Now, no, it would have been different if like the guy's name was like, you know, he's a larger Samoan man. It would have been different if like he was a kid I grew up with named Uli or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, this guy's name is freaking Pineapple. And I couldn't even remember that this guy's name was Pineapple. Okay? And that's dead ass his name because I ran into him later. I'm like, dude, I like, no offense, man, but I just got to ask you, are you Pineapple from Drunk Bus? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. But like, seriously, I am no good with actors' names. and that kind of thing. But yeah, doing the research into this movie, I'm like, I can't, you know, I couldn't find Barry's name. I'm like, because I'm sitting down, you know, yesterday trying to do, you know, trying to prep for, you know, yeah. recording today.
There wasn't a lot of interviews either. I was looking for interviews, and I mean, there was, like I said, there was more, you know, promotional stuff from David Howard Thornton saying, hey, I play Steamboat Willie pretty much, and doing like different stuff like with Screamboat. But there wasn't like super long interviews. There was more like reviews, kind of like how we're doing, like, you know, those movie reviews and stuff like that. A lot of negative movie reviews. Like, there was a bunch of videos like, this sucks, stop making childhood, you know, characters, horror icons or horror characters, whatever. And I get that, but, like, I guess with Steamboat Willie, I understand because it was an original concept that Walt and I forgot who else created. But, like, with the other ones, they were taken from, you know...
Yeah, brothers, they were taken from somewhere originally also.
The Grimm Brothers.
Well, they even said that, you know, basically there were drawings of a rodent before Mortimer came about. Walt technically clipped Mortimer from a different artist. So, yeah, Walt stole essentially the whole premise. I forget the artist's name, but yes. But which is funny because... A little side note to anybody who doesn't work at Disney, but you can look into the whole Tim Burton story if you want to.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But anything that you draw, when I worked at Disneyland, I was in art school. Anything that I would have created in art school that posted a profit, that made me any form of compensation, that would have been the sole property of Walt Disney. When you get hired, you sign on that basically anything that you create. So if you were to go out and be like, hey, you know, I work at Disneyland, but in my time off, I'm going to make, I don't know, churro pops or something. Churro pops, they taste great. I love them. We could sell them at the park. If you make that while you are employed, even if you're off, if it's 5 o'clock in the morning, you're not even at work, and you make something, and you post it, and you essentially create that as your business, Disney owns that company. That's what happened to Nightmare Before Christmas. That's why Nightmare Before Christmas was so delayed in coming out, because that same kind of crap happened. Tim Burton, in his free time, was creating Nightmare Before Christmas. Well, lo and behold, Disney found out.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we all know the turmoil and the beef that happened there. But so, yeah. So, Disney is clipped from so many people. Like, it's just ridiculous. You know, not him himself. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm saying, yes, he is a person, was a plagiarist in forms, and he did steal other people's intellectual property. But literally, like, the fact that you're going to, like, stand up like an army member and defend this, you know.
I can understand, like, the nostalgia side of it, because a lot of us, a whole bunch of us grew up with Disney movies, with VHS tapes from Disney, all that. So I understand that part of it. I have tons of VHS, you know, of Disney, you know, Winnie the Pooh, not the newer ones, like the original ones where they had the original voice actors. Before Jim Cummings, you know, was Tigger and, you know, and Pooh and all that, which, of course, he's an amazing voice actor. But, like, you still have to understand, like, where it came from. Like, where, you know, Cinderella came from, where, you know, all these, you know, Peter Pan and all that came from, Alice in Wonderland, which the Alice in Wonderland live action, it's actually pretty good with Johnny Depp and all that. Yeah, that's probably, like, the last...
Yeah, because it's dark and disturbing. Like, so many of these stories, like, have their origins in a dark and disturbing place. So all it's really doing in actuality is taking it back to where it came from.
Yeah, I think that's why Peter Pan was doing pretty good. You know, Neverland Nightmare.
Yeah, because Peter Pan, basically, you know, that's a darker story. You know, Disney Disneyfied it and made, oh, I'm 13 and you're 12 and I'm showing up at your window. Yeah, that's not weird. Oh, come with me. And then there's a bunch of little boys running around half clothed on this little island. Oh, and there's the evil Captain Hook because he's an adult and he's trying to shut me down. I just want to crawl up to your window and look at you in your nightgown. Yeah, man, there's some weird stuff out there, bro. Like, seriously, it's got some weird connotations to it. And, like, no matter what you do to kind of, you know, make it kid friendly, it's still pretty freaking disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, dude, with Pinocchio, you know, all that's disturbing, you know.
Yeah, take you to Pleasure Island. We're going to take all, you know, all the bad boys and take you over to Pleasure Island.
And they turn into jackasses.
And then you turn into asses. Yeah, that sounds like a Diddy Party 101 right there, dude. Talking about bad boys, bad boy. Okay. Then you go into the island. Okay. Then you're getting turned into an ass. Yeah, man. That's Diddy smacking DJ Khaled all day,
oh my
bro.
Gosh.
Just say
allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't know, man. I see some things. Sure. But so yeah. we're all innocent until proven guilty. But yeah, so
back to the Disney thing. Yes, yeah. With I get it. You know, there's going to be people who you know, they just want they I don't know, they want purity of that nostalgic feeling. They just want to keep it. But it's not. I mean, honestly, Disney's already shit on a lot of franchises already. R.I.P. the Star Wars series. Like,
yeah. Well, that's another thing.
You can come out with good stuff. Like, the Obi-Wan series was pretty good. Mandalorian is really good. But let's be honest, like, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to have that. I mean, there was people who hated the prequels.
Yeah.
You know?
There were people who hated 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
So, and only wanted to, like, stay purist to 4, 5, and 6. So, for those people, what? Oh, well, your feelings don't matter. Like, the only time that it matters is, you know, when you're trying to, like, you know, in a lot of people's minds, the most horrible, terrifying, scary thing that ever happened to Star Wars was Jar Jar Binks. Okay, so that being said,
Jar Jar doesn't look so bad now.
No, are you going to go back and retract and basically ease my 50-year-old mind into, don't worry, Eric, it's going to be okay. There's only 4, 5, and 6. George Lucas never made 1, 2, and 3, and Disney never conglomerated it and wiped out canon. And no, you're not. You're like, hey, Eric, suck it up, Buttercup. Like, we made 1, 2, and 3. Then we went through and did this. Hey, Andor season 2, Ahsoka volume, you know, what? She has 2 seasons?
I think she has 2 seasons, yeah.
She has 2 seasons. Andor just entered season 2?
Yeah, you have Book of Boba Fett. You have a bunch of other stuff, too.
You have The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett. The Bad Batch was off the Clone Wars. Like, how many different directions have you taken things into?
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, you're not sparing my, you know.
Like, I think Clone Wars was good, though, because you had actual, like, Star Wars nerds that were creating the Clone Wars.
Oh, Clone Wars was the fact that the Clone Wars took you in so many different directions. The Clone Wars was the last good thing. I mean, they went to, I forget that planet, like, with the gods and stuff. Like, yeah, the Clone Wars went in so many different directions. It was the completion of the universe. So, like, the Clone Wars, I have nothing against. But yeah, everything after that, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. But still, even the Clone Wars, how many people get wiped out? Okay, Mace Windu, you're gone. All these people, like, get massacred. What about the Mace Windu fan? What about all the little bald-headed kids running around like, man, Mace is my favorite?
I think my only problem is, like, okay, with all that, like, it's just, like, rewriting stuff and to get off the Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, to talk about, you know, stuff like that. But, it's just, I don't know. New things need to be created, and it's good to, like, use. Steamboat Willie is not huge. And, like, no one was, like, being, like, oh, they didn't have, like, the ringtone of Steamboat Willie whistling. No, they just, you know, they like Mickey Mouse. And technically, they're not using Mickey Mouse. They're using Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, and they're using Mortimer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not Mickey.
Minnie, maybe, but.
But look where Minnie lives.
She is a garbage barge.
Yeah, she's a garbage barge queen now.
Yeah. The very end, so there's like a huge epic battle at the end. The ferry sinking. Like, Selena is almost gets him to convince, you know, Steamboat Willie that, you know, she's Minnie and she's going to, like, stab him. But she actually distracts him, and the EMT stabs him in the head, and, you know, he falls into the sea. And at the end, he, like, washes up ashore into the trash, and you see Minnie. Like, you see her outline. You see her, like, side, but you don't see her. And then he's, like, smiling and all that, and he gets
happy. Yeah, he looks up. He's all like, yeah, my dreams are fulfilled.
Yeah. And everybody lives, or not everybody lives, obviously. There's a lot of people that die on this ferry. But, like, you know, Selena, the main character, lives. The EMT lives. The kid lives. He just needs a lot of therapy.
Pete Sudo lives.
He lives. There's, like, a little cutscene at the end where he's, like, trying to read.
Where he comes
help.
Back. Because, yeah, he basically, they kind of insinuate that he dies. You know, he's going down with the ship. Like a good captain should. he's going down with the ship. And so they reference that, and then lo and behold, in the end,
he's still alive.
Boom, it flashes to, you know, stay tuned pretty much for Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah, Mickey and Minnie will return. So there's going to be another one. So whether you like it or not, guys, there's going to be another one. There's going to be a Mickey and Minnie or Willie and Minnie, whatever.
Dude, you know what would really be great? Okay, so Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers. Right? Uh-huh. Just hear me out. Okay, so you had Woody Harrelson, who was Mickey, and Juliette Lewis, who was Mallory. Mickey and Mallory, and they become like the serial killer couple, right? So what if Mickey and Minnie are like pseudo-imposed in this whole like dystopian Oliver Stone serial killer, natural born killers movie? You know, you could get Robert Downey Jr. back from his whack cheesy Dr. Doom role and throw him up on there and, you know, let him be, you know, let him get, you know, all caught up in the Jones and like in the movie and get sacrificed. I'd pay for that.
But, all right. Yeah.
It'd be good. It could work. No.
I wonder if they're going to throw any other characters into the next one if they do make it.
I don't know.
I mean, this one obviously it didn't do great.
Oh, dude, what if they had like this angry, like golden pit bull named Pluto just eating people? That'd be sweet.
That I would watch. Okay. No, like a big, like Great Dane or, you know, something. Like Marmaduke looking.
But it'd have to be like a Cane Corso or something. It'd have to be an aggressive breed.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that evil, dirty wharf rodent isn't going to like just be walking around with a chihuahua or something. Like, it's just not going to happen. And, you know, Pluto is Mickey's dog, so, hey, dude. That
would be pretty good. That would be pretty good to see. Yeah. Yeah. See, I enjoy that, man. I enjoy people kind of taking old things and redoing them. Not, like, making them again live action, but, like, just, like, putting a spin on it. Like, making it a horror movie, making them slashers, stuff like that. It's interesting to see. I know a lot of people don't like I said, we've been talking about this already for the past episode, but it's just cool to see like stuff like that. It's just cool to see people redoing Winnie the Pooh as like, you know, horror characters that were abandoned, you know, and stuff like that. Peter Pan being an actually, which was kind of based on the fan theories that, you know, Peter Pan was actually a kidnapper, which was an old fan theory. That he was actually kidnapping kids and, you know, that's how he would stay young He was like killing them and, you know, pretty much like using their youth. But they took that fan theory and like, okay, well, let's make it a let's make it a movie. Like,
yeah,
you know, there doesn't have to be like, you know, floating things and all that, like, you know, fairy tale. It could just be like a twisted, screwed up. Like,
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Person.
Yeah, it could be like a schizophrenic. It could be all kinds of different things. Well, that was one thing that like kind of disappointed. Like, I was kind of disappointed in this movie. Through the whole deal, okay, Selena's an artist, and she has, like, this sketchbook. And no matter where she goes in the film, like, she's in the bathroom, and, you know, Willie's taking a poop.
Yeah.
And she has the sketchbook. And I was kind of expecting, you know, like, her to have had, like, because it's almost like this foreboding sixth sense that she has, even when she runs onto the ship.
Yeah.
She has, like, this sixth sense that something's not right, and she's trying to find her way. But then I kind of thought that, you know, like maybe she had some sketches in the sketchbook where like she had dreams of like this rabid rodent, this wharf rat looking thing. But it's like the sketchbook just keeps getting kicked around.
Well, she can't open it, dude, or they own it.
Yeah. You know, it gets pissed on. Like it's in the. It's
you
in
can't
the,
show any of your artwork, man, or yeah, Disney owns exactly. it.
Disney, like, it's ours now. Black sketches book is, you know, with a cursive Selena script on the front. That's ours.
But no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, like
I thought something more could have been done with that.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you know, the budget with it, I'm assuming was very, very low. But you know, I mean, they had enough to where they got, you know, David Howard Thornton.
That's what I'm saying.
Who is pretty big right now with the Terrifier series.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously they had some kind of budget. But I mean, it was great. It's just a silly movie.
It's a no-brainer horror movie. It's one of those ones that you just watch, you know, and just it's brain rot.
Yeah.
You watch it, it's goofy. You sit there, you watch a giant rat get mad, cut off people's wieners, throw them at people, pass them off. You know, carry it for what reason? I have no idea.
He carried it for a while.
It's not to be explained, you know. Like, I am not to judge. Like, whatever he's holding on to the cop's wiener for, I have no idea. You know,
that's him, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You just, that's how Willie works. The Willie had a Willie.
Yeah. Willie had the Willie. But yeah, it's a good movie. If they make a part two, I mean, part one never played here, so maybe
no. Unfortunately,
maybe if this does get enough, you know, foot traffic or enough traffic through streaming, then maybe we'll, you know, be able to get part two in one of the theaters here.
Maybe.
It's possible.
Hopefully. We didn't get Peter Pan Neverland Nightmare. We might get Screamboat 2, Electric Mickey Lou or something like that.
Electric Minnie Lou.
But yeah, it was it's fun to watch. It was cool though. It was cool. I was excited kind of to see that he wasn't a giant person in a rat suit. That he was actually kind of small. He was actually little.
Yeah, because I got tricked. I mean, I think we both kind of got tricked by a lot of the ones that came out beforehand.
Oh jeez.
That they just kept throwing. Okay.
Let's talk about this. Okay, let's get into the other
Mousetrap,
the Mickey Steamboat Willie spoofs. So you had Mousetrap, which was. Yeah, again,
it went the whole Five Nights at Freddy route, though, because it went to, like, you know, the pizza place, the pizza arcade, and I felt like it was really just trying to capitalize off of Chuck E. Cheese, but then it was pulling off a lot from, like, you know, like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you had Mousetrap, you had, I think there was another one, I swear there was, like, more, but...
There's, like, three of them. I know I've seen Mousetrap... That obviously I've seen Screamboat. There's a couple other out there that I have not taken the time to watch, just like, you know, the 16 Popeye movies that are out right now. Saw the first one.
That's another thing. Okay. Special reference. Because we never got to talk about it. We watched Popeye's Revenge. And that one was actually.
Did you watch Revenge or did you watch Popeye the Slayer Man?
Popeye the Slayer Man.
I watched
Sorry.
Popeye the Slayer
Sorry,
Man.
Sorry, the Slayer Man.
I haven't seen the Revenge yet.
Didn't watch Revenge. It was Popeye the Slayer Man, and that was actually pretty cool to watch. It's pretty again, dude. It's just like Screamboat. It's silly. It's low budget. It's some questionable acting. Not gonna say bad, but you know, it's borderline.
Yeah.
But it has a good storyline. It gives you a good origin story of Popeye. It, you know, stuff like that. The spinach and all that. The actor who played Popeye. You know, obviously jacked dude.
But Robin Williams was the only Popeye ever. I saw it in 1983. You have to be a purist. This movie destroyed my childhood.
Really, I didn't hear a lot of...
I didn't hear anything about Popeye.
Popeye, yeah.
Nothing. I heard nobody. And I also think that's just, you know, in my opinion, man, those cartoons, first of all, they already had a creepy feel to them. I remember watching Popeye cartoons when I was a kid. And Popeye cartoons, like you had the sea hag who was a witch with the old vulture on her shoulder. You had all that creepy stuff, and she had that song. And I remember that. Like she had that song, and she lured Pappy out to the sea like a siren.
Yeah.
So you already had all that like mythos and that in Popeye. So
yeah, Popeye, Betty Boop, all that was very creepy.
Oh like. Yeah, you had like the whole skeleton dance thing with Betty Boop and
Calloway, man.
Yeah, there was all this like creepy stuff, and so that's why I think Popeye didn't catch as much flack. Also, I think Popeye related to an older mindset.
True. Yeah.
Like, cause for me, I mean, gosh, man, I'm 50. So yeah, I remember watching it when I was a kid. I remember I got a Popeye the Sailor Man. Marionette one time for Easter.
That's pretty cool.
And we watched Popeye cartoons and we played with it. And I remember that kind of stuff. And it was like, yeah, it was already, like I said, it was already creepy. Like, so no, I don't have any, like, you know, like I always felt kind of creeped out by Popeye. I never really felt like, you know, oh, he's welcoming. Oh, and then Robin Williams did a horror. No, Robin Williams made it like those big blobby arms.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen the original Popeye, dear Lord, if that freaking octopus creature at the end didn't scare you, like, you, dude, yeah, it was terrifying. Bluto was freaky. You know, all the characters were really freaky in the original.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
Well, I will say this. Popeye the Slayer Man, again, it was fun. It's just like, you know, it was kind of see a cool concept like that. I think you could have done better because of how many villains there were in the cartoons, you could have actually had Popeye as just the protagonist.
Yeah.
You could have made him the protagonist and made like a horror, darker version of like how Robin Williams had, you know, his live action to like just a more darkened horror version of.
I would have taken it more to a reality standpoint, because the one thing that I always noticed when I was a kid about Popeye, and I was young, but I noticed this. Okay, so Popeye's hanging out. He's doing his thing. You know, he's got Sweet Pea. You know, he loves his kid. He's a good working family man. You know, he goes out on the ship every day, does his business. Comes back. Hey, Olive's slanging her wares all over the port, man. Like, sitting there, dude, Wimpy's coming up. The only reason Wimpy didn't get no play because that fool was fat and hamburger obsessed. So, you know, Wimpy don't get no play. But Bluto, every time Bluto comes around, she's throwing it to him, right? She's like, oh, Bluto, oh. Dude, so you catting around like that, right? Dude. If I was Popeye, I would have turned it into like a whole like domestic situation. Just seriously, make it like a horror movie. Like he chops her up and wears the skin, and then Bluto's like, hey there, sexy. And then Popeye's cutting people. Dude, you could have taken it there.
Yeah, Terrifier already did it.
Even it could have been even better. Okay. Sea Hag could have basically like cast a glamour. She could have thrown on the skin of olive oil. Maybe catches olive oil slipping down on the docks, cuts her skin off, starts wearing. Oh, dude, too many avenues that she could have taken.
I like how I was invested in the first thing you said. I was like, oh yeah. And then you're like, yeah, let's make it domestic. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's a domestic horror movie. It's like At Your Door, like Fatal Attraction, or you know, Man's Best Friend, or some of those creepy movies. Like it comes to your household. Not like I'm gonna beat on her.
That's what I thought you meant.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Popeye, that was pretty good, man. That's a little honorable mention because we wanted to fit it in, but there wasn't so much on it that we could make an episode about it. And since Screamboat came out, I figured, hey, let's throw in Popeye as an honorable mention about, you know, the twisted, you know, these people making childhood, you know, horror movies now. But Popeye wasn't, it's not something that. It's something that you have to be like, hey, man, let's check this movie out. Like, it's just one of those movies. It's not like.
Yeah, it's a drunken night. You have nothing to do. Like, literally, you're at home. You know, you turn
just
on.
Check it out. Just check it out. It's just something to check out.
It's to beware. That's all that it
Popeye
is.
Popeye the Slayer, man. Yeah. Not Popeye's Revenge.
Well, I can't throw shade on Popeye's Revenge. I haven't seen it.
Dude, I saw the trailer, and it looks.
Saw the trailer. It looks bad. But I watch bad movies. If I start throwing stones at every bad movie I watch.
That's true. That's true. Man. But I don't know. I would say Slayer Man's a little bit better. So if you want to check out Slayer Man, Popeye the Slayer Man, check it out. It's pretty good. That's a little honorable mention right here at the end of our episode. But yeah, that's us talking about Screamboat.
Screamboat.
What we thought about it. We enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah.
I say if you just like B-horror movies and something silly, go check it out. If you absolutely hate it and that people shouldn't be doing that to these childhood characters, which were also already stolen, then, hey, don't check it out. You can catch us next week where we're going to talk about another childhood.
Exactly. You just want to bypass. You want to take a bye week.
So you got to understand, okay, for us, it's very hard for us to watch some of these movies from our location. A lot of theaters around us, they do not get these movies that we want to see. They're usually doing the mainstream stuff, the Disney movies that are being remade, and a lot of like the action movies and like the big horror movies. And I get it. The big horror movies that are coming out, like, you know, Bring Her Back and Weapons, they look really, really good. And I can't wait to check those out. We just haven't hit those because I feel like those are going to get enough attention already. Feel like they're going to get a lot of attention. And I feel like with, you know, Peter Pan Neverland Nightmare, you know, that just came out for us in the US on streaming. You know, we can talk about it here and kind of, you know, spread the love, you know, because independent films, you know, they need love too. Like, they really do.
Absolutely. They need more, you know, they need more people supporting them because there's less people talking about them.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to talk about that. And then we'll most likely after that, our plan is to talk about, of course, the new horror movies that come out, Bring Her Back and, you know, stuff like that. So we'll get to the newer horror movies.
Yeah. Cause coming out tomorrow, I mean, geez. Tomorrow we've got, you know, 28 years later.
Yeah, so there's so much we're still going to talk about. But, and also we do it later because we give people a chance to watch them themselves. Because we figured, like, doing the spoiler stuff that we were doing, I feel like that's going to, you know, ruin it for a lot of people. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've gotten some feedback that, you know, people do love that. They love us talking about the whole movie and, you know, stuff going play-by-play. To me, it seemed kind of linear. And I feel like just diving into some of the movies, like, you know, talking about the characters, talking about some of the kills, the costumes and stuff like that, it does a little bit better. And some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, like we did with Predator, I think that's pretty cool, too. And then, of course, talking about some of the scenes, not all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do them later on after the movie's released, so that way people get a chance to watch them. If you don't, that's on you. But, you know, give people a chance to watch them, so that way when we talk about them, you can kind of hear our input, what we thought about it, whether you agree or disagree, and, you know, just what we want to see in the future also with horror movies, like with Screamboat, what we wanted to see happen in the next one. And, of course, with Popeye, I don't think there's going to be a sequel to that Popeye movie.
I don't know. There might be. I think it also depends on how much traffic it gets.
Yeah. So that Popeye movie, give it some love. Throw some love, man. Screamboat and Popeye.
Yeah. Popeye, the Slayer Man.
The Slayer Man.
The Slayer Man.
The Slayer Man. But thank you guys so much for listening. This is our episode. And, you know, please follow us on Instagram. The link will be in the description of this episode. We thank you guys so much for listening. And please spread the awareness of our podcast. Spread, you know. Tell everybody, tell your family, your friends, tell a stranger, grab their phone, just add us on there.
Tell that Disney parent that lives next door to you and has like 47 Oogie Boogie bags in their house. Let them know what's good. We're here for them too.
But yeah, thank y'all so much for listening, and we will see y'all
next week.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.